Paul of Tarsus, and his occupation was a tent maker. That's what his occupation was. That's how he made his money. He would go from place to place, and he would make tents, back in the days of the Bible, what would happen is they would travel from place to place, and they would find people who were in the same occupation as they were, and they would lodge with them, or they'd befriend them, and they would work together in whatever trade that they had. If they were a carpenter, they worked with carpenters. If they were tent makers, they worked with tent makers, and so on and so forth. But Paul, or Saul, when he was also a persecutor of the Christians. He was at the stoning of Stephen. He had been given written documents to go to Damascus to find the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem for persecution. And that's kind of where we're going to start today a little bit. I want to look at Paul because there's some things in Paul's life that I think that all of us can take and use to further the honor and glory of God. Now, Paul was a man of vision. And I'm going to show you why here as we go through this. But he had a vision of Christ. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. We're going to be in the book of Acts most of this morning. So Acts chapter 9 we're going to start with. Acts chapter 9. We're going to start verse 3. But it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now here we see that Paul saw a blinding light, and in the light was the Lord Jesus himself in the flesh. Paul heard something. He was going to Damascus, and he was to wait there until he was told what to do. Now, here we see that Paul saw something. He saw a blinding light. He had a vision. He saw the Lord in this light. Now, he heard something. He heard the Lord tell him to go to Damascus and wait. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was on my way somewhere, all of a sudden there was a bright light, and I looked at that bright light, and it caused me to be blind. And then there was a voice that came out of that bright light and said, Hey, I want you to go to Damascus. I want you to stay there until I show you what to do. I think maybe I might listen to him. Wouldn't you? After all, here I am blind. What's that? Well, yeah. Well, he had his friends with him, and they took him to Damascus. But, I mean, you know, Paul could have said, well, I ain't going to go to Damascus. I was going to go there and get the Christian, take him back, and now all of a sudden, here I am blind, you know. But he heard something. He heard the Lord talk to him, and then he did something. He went to Damascus, and he waited for the answer to the Lord. Now, it's important for us, once we hear God call us, to do what he wants us to do. Now, if you take a look at, let's take a look here at verse 10. It says, and a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and him said the Lord in a vision, or Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Now, here we see that Ananias heard something. He heard the Lord speak to him. Now, let's go down to 13. It says, and Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then if you go to verse 17, it says what? And Ananias went his way. Now we need to realize that Ananias was told something, and he went and he did what God told him to do. Now, but here, let's go down to verse 20. It says, and straightway, let's go down and let's look at verse 17. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and rose and was baptized. And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. So here we see that not only was see something, not only did he hear something, but he also did something. Now, this is the way it should be with people when they get saved. You know, here we see Paul's conversion. We see that he became a disciple of the Lord. He had accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And what was the first thing that he did? Verse 20 says, straightway he preached. He preached Christ in every synagogue, that he was the Son of God. Now, what we need to realize is this. When a person gets saved, there should be a change in their lives. You know, we sing that song, there's been a great change since I've been born again. We need to realize that there should be a great change in our lives the minute we get saved. Here we see Paul had a great change in his life, and he did something about it. Now, yes. Yeah. Pardon? Right. Oh yeah, yeah. That was baptism by immersion. Now you notice the progression there. First he had to what? Get saved, didn't he? Okay. First he had to get saved, and then he got baptized. You know, there's an awful lot of religions today that feel that baptism is no longer important. Baptism is very important. You know, it doesn't save us. However, there's a progression that we need to follow once we get saved. First, well, okay, let's look at the Philippian jailer. Yeah. Okay, the Philippian jailer, he was a Gentile. Cornelius was a Gentile. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was a Gentile. These people weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. And yet they received Christ, then they were baptized. And so it's a progression that we need to follow once we get saved. Yeah. Yep, but it's a progression that we need to follow once we get saved. Once we get saved, we need to take and get baptized. Okay, so first he had a vision. Paul was a man of, first he had a vision of Christ. Second, he had a vision of the ministry. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse number 9. I can find it here. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Taurus, they came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day unto Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and they were in that city abiding certain days. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that Paul had a vision of a ministry. You know, he saw something. He saw a man praying. He saw verse 9, it says, there stood a man in Macedonia, and he prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia. Here we see that Paul saw something. He saw a man praying. He saw a man asking for Paul to come there. Not only did that, he not only saw someone, but he also heard something. He heard him say, come over and help us. You know, this man wanted him to come to Macedonia. He wanted him to come and present the gospel message to the people of Macedonia. And then if you take any look, you'll see that Paul did something. He immediately left, and he endeavored to go to Macedonia to preach the gospel of Christ. You know, the thing I found really interesting about this was that he, in verse 11, it says, therefore, loosing from Taurus, he came with a what? Straight course. A straight course. What is the fastest way between two points? A straight line, right? That's the fastest way between two points is a straight line. And that's what Paul did, is he set a straight course right to Macedonia. He didn't take any side courses. He went right straight to Macedonia. You know, we need to realize that when God calls us to do something, we need to set a straight course to try to get everything done for His honor and His glory. You know, Paul saw a mission or a vision for a mission journey. He was going to be a missionary. That's what he wanted, what God had called him to do. Not only that, but he also saw a vision of testimony, a vision of testimony. Go to chapter 18, Acts chapter 18. Verses 9 through 11, it says, then spake the Lord to Paul in a great night, in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now, if you take any look at that, let's go to verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Here we see that he had a vision of testimony. Paul heard something. What did he hear? He heard the Lord. You know, the Lord was telling him not to be afraid. He wanted him to preach to the people of Corinth. He told him that he had much people there. You know, the Lord had people ready to accept him. All Paul had to do was preach. That's all he had to do was preach. And so here we see that there is a vision of testimony. You know, Paul did something. He stayed and he preached for a year and a half. You know, God, when God says, you go somewhere and I want you to plant yourself there, and I want you to preach there until I move you. That's exactly what we're supposed to do, isn't it? I can remember when I was growing up, we had a pastor. His name was Al Tassel, and Brother Tassel went home to be the Lord. But he was a visionary, I called him, and he always wanted something bigger and better. We had a church in Verona. We were running about 450, and the church was, I mean, we were pretty well packed out. We had the auditorium sat about 400, and we had a side room off of that, plus we had junior church. We had different things, you know, that way too, where we get rid of a lot of the kids in that. But we were running about 450 every Sunday morning. One Sunday, he gets up behind the pulpit and he says, "I believe that God has called me away." He says, "I'm moving to Indianapolis. In fact," he said, "by the end of the month, we'll be gone. I accepted a call in Indianapolis." And I went and I was just a kid. I was, in fact, my wife and I were just getting ready to get married. This is 1972. And it really bothered me because, you know, he was leaving. And I said to him, I said, "Why are you leaving?" And he says, "Well, this church that I'm going to take is running almost 1,000 every Sunday morning." And he says, "I want a bigger church than what we have here to minister to." And I said to him, I said, "Yeah, but is it you or is it God?" He says, "Well," he says, "God is in this." I said, "Okay, fine." 3 years later, I happened to run into him at a meeting I was at. And I said, "Well, how are things going?" And this is what he said to me. He says, "If I could do it all over," he says, "I would still be in Verona." I said, "Why?" I said, "I thought you wanted a big church." He says, "So did I think I wanted a big church." He says, "A big church has big problems." He says, "A big church has people that don't get along at all." And he says, "A big church, you never get to know anybody." He says, "When we were in Verona," he says, "we are all one big happy family." He says, "Do you know that I don't physically know 1/10 of the people in my church?" He says, "If I meet them at the door and shake hands with them, there's no way I could even tell you what their name is." And he said, "I've been there 3 years." He says, "If I could do it all over," he says, "I would still be in Verona." I said to him, I said, "No," I said, "was that of the Lord or is it was of you?" He said, "It was of me. It was of me." He says, "I wanted something bigger and better because I wanted to make a big name for myself. And God wasn't in it." And so, you know, we need to be careful with our testimony. You know, there's a lot of people today, especially in fundamental independent Baptist circles, who want to make a name for themselves. You know, they want to be a Jack Hiles. They want to be a Billy Sunday. They want to be a, Billy. They want to be someone like that. They want to have a name for themselves. And they're going to do everything that they can to make a name for themselves. And sometimes it hurts their testimony more than helps them. But not only that, but he also had a vision of warning. Look, go to chapter 22 of Acts. Acts chapter 22. Start verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far thence unto the Gentiles. Now, here we see that Paul saw something again, didn't he? He saw something again. He saw a vision. He saw Jesus once again. Paul heard something. Jesus told him to get out of Jerusalem. You know, the thing of it is, the Lord knows what's going to happen to us. Did you know that? The Lord knows what's coming down the road. The Lord knows if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad, and he's going to warn us of the good or the bad. And here he's warning Paul. He says, hey, get out of Jerusalem. Jesus knew that Paul's life was in danger. These people wanted to kill him. But Paul says, wait a minute. I was the persecutor of the Christians. Jesus says, get out of here now, because they want to kill you. Paul did something. He announced his Roman citizenship. Thus he escaped the scourging and possible death that would have happened to him. And he went to, was going to go to Rome. Now, then he had a vision of work. Look at chapter 23 and verse 11. And the knight, following the Lord, stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know, Paul saw something again. He saw the Lord standing by him. He heard something. He heard the Lord tell him to buck up. He said, don't be such a prude. Paul was in a very bad situation, and the people wanted to kill him, and they were going to try to tear him apart. And yet that night the Lord stood by him. He says, hey, be of good cheer. Now, I don't know about you, but now this is me, all right? If all of a sudden I had one group of people pulling me this way, another group of people pulling me this way, and they were going to pull me apart, they were actually going to physically dismember me, I don't think I would be of good cheer. You know that? I wouldn't. I would not be of good cheer. After all, these people don't like me. They want to kill me. But look what the Lord said. Be of good cheer, Paul. You know, hey, be of good cheer, man. Don't sweat the little thing. But Lord, they're going to kill me. I mean, how much more can you get than that? He says, well, be of good cheer. For as thou hast testified me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, here we see a vision of warning. You know, of work. Now, Paul saw that the Lord standing there. He heard something. The Lord told him to be of good cheer. What could be worse than dead? Amen? You know, let's face it. What could be worse than dead? You know, I've protected you so far, and I'm going to keep doing it. So Paul did something. He was told that he must testify Christ in Rome, you know, the capital of the known world. And, you know, what an honor and privilege to testify Christ to the heathen nation who would rather see Christians dead than alive. But Paul was going there to preach Christ. You know, I can remember me asking God to be able to preach to the people here in Florence. People that I've never preached to. People that I've never seen before. I wanted to take and be able to reach the people of Florence. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. From the time I opened the doors of this church was open and I started being pastor here, I prayed that God would somehow, some way, open a door that I could preach to the people of Florence. And then it happened. Daryl Kasten, when he got killed in Iraq, we had the memorial service at the school, and we had over 2,000 people at that memorial service. He had been in the National Guard for 20 years. He had worked at the prison for 19 years. Everybody knew him. Everybody in Florence, Coolidge, and surrounding area knew Daryl Kasten. The gymnasium was packed with people. And I'd prayed that God would take and somehow give me the opportunity to preach to the people of Florence. And he did. We saw over 250 saved that day. I mean, it was unbelievable. And so, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We just need to continue to pray. And we just need to continue to be ready for his honor and his glory. Not only that, but he also had a vision of encouragement. Acts chapter 27, verses 23 and 24. It says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Now, he was given a vision of encouragement. Paul saw something. He saw the angel of the Lord standing beside him. Now, I've never seen an angel stand beside me. I felt their presence, but I've never seen an angel stand beside me. Here we see Paul saw the angel of the Lord standing beside him. Paul had heard something. He was going to be saved from the storm. His life was going to be spared with all the men on the ship. He says, "Be of good cheer." You know, we could all be dead right now. And that's what Paul said. Paul was going to be a cheerleader for the men on the ship. I mean, here's this storm. They're crashing and banging and booming all over the sea. They had cast everything off, and they're just, you know, waiting for shipwreck, so to speak. And Paul says, "Be of good cheer. It could be worse. We could all be dead right now." You know what I mean? Don't sweat the little things. After all, you know, we could all die. But you know, he says, "I serve the living God who is in control and he's sitting on the throne." But you know, Paul also did something. He encouraged the rest of the men. Look at verse 33. It says, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God, in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that Paul saw something, he heard something, and then he did something. He encouraged the rest of the men to do something. He says, "I want you to take and eat. None of you have eaten for 14 days. 2 weeks they had went without having anything to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but after about 48 hours, I get hungry. Amen? My stomach growls. You know, and I physically get weak. But 2 weeks they went without anything to eat. Fasting. And Paul says, hey, you need to have something to eat. You need to take and have something that's going to keep you going. You know, He helped them all overboard to safety. You know, he helped them spare their lives on the ship. After all, as we know, as the story goes on, that the ship went against the rocks and was broken up. But yet, they all were saved. There was none of them that lost their lives. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul also saw a vision of paradise. He also saw a vision of paradise. Chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. For such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but of my but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I say the truth, that now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Now, here we see that Paul saw something. Paul was given a glimpse of heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Huh? Wouldn't it be cool to have a glimpse of heaven? You know, God let Paul see what was in store for him when he was taken off this earth. He was taken up into the third heaven. He was taken up into the very throne room of God. You know, God let Paul see what a lot of us would like to see, but have never been able to see. You know, Paul heard something. He heard words which could not be spoken. You know, when John was writing the book of Revelation and what he had seen in heaven, I really do not believe there were words that he could use in that time period to express exactly how beautiful heaven really was. You know, he was just using words that were known to the people of that day. And then there was things that he could not write. You know, think about it. You know, there's mysteries of heaven that we have no idea about because God doesn't want us to know what they are. You know, somebody said to me one day, "Well, why does God keep mysteries from us?" Well, look at the mystery of salvation. When was that revealed? When was the mystery of salvation revealed? Huh? Yeah, at the cross. At the cross. That's where salvation was revealed. The prophets of old wanted to know what salvation was all about, and God would not reveal it to them. He waited until Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to Scripture. Now, Paul, we see, did something. He pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we need to understand that Paul was obedient to these visions. Look at Acts chapter 26. Let's go back to Acts for just a minute. Acts chapter 26, 16, 17, 18. Acts chapter 26, verses 19 and 20. It says this. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Here we see that Paul was obedient to his visions. You know, Paul did as he was told to do. He spread the gospel everywhere he went. He started churches in places where churches weren't started. He saw people get saved in places that people would not normally get saved in. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. Henceforth, there was a crown laid up for him in glory. We need to realize that Paul did everything that his visions showed him to do. And you know, each and every one of us need to realize that God has purposed in our lives to do the things that he has called us to do. And Paul, I believe, was probably one of the greatest missionaries ever to live. He did exactly what God wanted him to. He went where God wanted him to go. He said what God wanted him to say. And so he did keep the course. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like Paul. I don't want to be thrown in jail every town I go to. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be stoned and left for dead. I don't want to be shipwrecked. I don't want to be bitten by a snake. I don't like snakes. But, you know, what we need to realize is that Paul went through all that persecution. Why? Because he was a visionary. Because he was a visionary. He saw the visions that God had for him for the rest of his life. And he did exactly what God called him to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the life of Paul. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in the service to follow. Pray that we might get much out of the message today. And just pray that anybody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they'll come to know you today. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know there's still donuts back there. There's coffee back there. If you want